Have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. If you guys can sit up here on the right-hand side for me, please. We'll be using it for illustration in just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one are we the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is the sufficiency for all things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but in sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to stop tonight, and we want to thank you for the day, for your blessings, and Lord, for your goodness to us, and we thank you for the time tonight to come together. And Lord, and look at your word. Lord, I pray you'd be with us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn some things from my word. Accomplish your will in each of our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I think I forgot to turn it on, I think. Brother Chris up here shaking his head. Is it on now? Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I don't know about you guys, but of all the memory verses we've had this year, that it's been the hardest. I struggle with this one the most. And so the other day when Brother Burke asked me to preach, my mind went to this verse here first. Every time we've had a memory verse, I've tried to do a little bit of background on the verse. Look at verse 14 again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge of us in every place. As I begin to look at this, I begin to look up some other books, and I found out that they say here that Paul was referring to called the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry was simply this. Whenever a Roman emperor or a Roman general would go out, and whenever they would win a big battle, and they didn't have 5,000 or more killed, and they would take a large town, and they had a major battle, whether they accomplished something great, Rome, number one, just to give them a reward, had a parade for them. Second, to make sure they stayed loyal to Rome, that they had a parade for them, and that they had to plead allegiance to Rome when they came back from the great battle. You know, it's so I'll be able to look at this, and you know, there's several things here that they had there. We have a Roman emperor over here. We have Roman. He goes out, he battles, and he conquers a big city. Over 5,000 are killed in this battle. He's one of the favorites of the Roman government. And so they say, you know what? You know, Brother Chris, you know, you've done a great job here, and you triumphed. You triumphed above all things else. You know, you killed all these men. You've had all these prisoners. We're going to throw you a party. So what he would do when he came back to Rome, he would come to Rome, and Brother Carr, help me out this word. They came to the port triumphalist. Brother Craig showed that word. Port Triumphalus. He'd come to Port Triumphalus, and he would come there with his army, and he would surrender his rights to the army back to the Emperor of Rome, to the Senate, all there, and they'd meet there at the port. He would surrender everything back to Rome, and he'd come into Rome, and they'd have a big party. Now, he'd be there at the port, and between there, and there's a place called the Temple of Jupiter on the other side of Rome, where it was a big temple to Jupiter, where they would take and offer sacrifices there to Jupiter. And they would line the streets with incense, and they would get to the temple, and they had all kinds of incense there at the temple, and they just said that the smell could be all the city, you could smell the smell. But in the meantime, they had the streets paved with the incense and the smell there. What they would do, they would take they're in the procession. At first, that they had trumpeters. Brother, do you want me a trumpeter? Maybe a trumpeter. Okay, they didn't have a trumpeter. Go and blow your trumpet. They had trumpeters, and they would go there, and then the city, and they had wagons of all the loot that he had taken. They'd put all a wagon train, and have all the wagons there of the loot that he had taken, and then they'd have a couple of them of white bulls for sacrifice, once they got the temple, and then behind the white bulls was the prisoners. Brother Keith and Brother Terry are our prisoners. You come over, Brother Keith and Brother Terry. And we have prisoners, and these prisoners, what they were, as Keith just didn't give up. Keith fought the battle to the very end, and when all his men had died, he said, okay, I surrender. And after all, he lost all he had, he surrendered, he came, and he was in this march, but he was marching to the Colosseum to be fed the lions. Brother Terry, discretion is the better part of valor, right? So Brother Terry here, he says, "Listen, man, here comes all these guys. There's no way I can win." He waves a white flag. Says, "Listen, I acknowledge you win the battle. What can we do? I surrender." And so what he would do, he'd come in, he'd be the triumphal entry as well, but he was marching not to the Colosseum to be killed, but he was marching to become a citizen of Rome, have all the rights of Rome. So here you have a prisoner going to death, you have a prisoner going to life, okay, they're walking side by side, and you have a trumpeter, he's trumpeting, and then you have the white bulls, and you gave all the goods that was taken, and they make their way to the temple. Okay, keep on going. Come on, Brother Chris, you're in the parade. They take away the temple. They said the procession took from sundown to from the time the sun came up to the time the sun went down. It was a large party. It was called the triumphal entry party for these men. Rome only had 500 of these parties, and in the years of existence, they had 500 of these parties. And several of the parties was about the time of Paul. About the time that Paul wrote this epistle, there were several of those parties that happened because they had some major campaigns that was won. Okay, so it's called the triumphal party. Okay, y'all can sit back down. Thank you. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and read our verse again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the savor of his body by us in every place. For we are born to God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and them that they perish. And so you see, verse 3, how does this apply to us? Well, verse 14 says that we triumph in Christ. The Apostle Paul, he said, we always triumph in Christ. We always triumph. But I begin to look at the life of Apostle Paul. Several of his mission journeys were successful, and lots of souls saved. He triumphed in Christ. But there were several of his mission journeys where they cast him out. They cast him out of Lystra. They cast him out. They left him for dead. But he said in verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the Savior of his knowledge into us by every place. Paul, how can you say that you always triumph in Christ? Paul, yes, in several cities you had great revivals, but Paul, in several cities, the cities they rejected you, they threw you out of the city, and they left you for dead. We're going to verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, in them that are perished. Now, remember in our procession, it was two guys. His brother Keith was going to the Colosseum to be killed. His brother Terry going to the Colosseum, going to a place to receive his citizenship. The same savor they smelled going down the street, the same savor that Keith smelled is what Terry smelled. One unto death, one unto life. Paul said that we always have victory in Christ. The thought simply is this tonight. I always have victory in Christ, no matter if somebody gets saved on visitation or not. I always have victory in Christ, where folks get saved on visitation or not. Let's say I go over to brother Alan's door, and I'm knocking on Alan's door. And brother Alan comes to the door, and we sit and we talk for about half an hour. We talk about Christ and salvation. And brother Alan accepts Christ as a Savior. Wait a minute, I always have victory unto life. I've done my part. I've done what I ought to do. I always have the victory in Christ. Now, next week I go over to Brother Keith's house. Brother Keith's having a bad night. I go over to Brother Keith's house. And I go to Brother Keith's house and I talk to him about the Lord. And we talk and we talk and we talk. He finally says, no, I want nothing to do with the gospel. Just leave my house, leave my porch, don't ever come back. I don't want to see you again. I'll shoot you if you come back. Just don't come back. You know what? I still triumph in Christ. Keith isn't to death. And I hate that. But I've done my part. Folks, I think that many times that we think that we don't triumph in Christ when we go out soul winning and no one gets saved, we think, well, I'm not triumphing in Christ. Yes, I am. I've done my part. It says, for we are a savor unto God. Tonight's lesson, sermon is very short probably. Are you a savor unto God? Are you the sweet savor unto God? If I'm doing my part, if I'm having victory in Christ by the things I ought to do, You know, too many times I think that we have the thing that we have results. We're results oriented. That's not up to me. That's up to God. As I'm faithful to go out and to love folks and to be the witness to them, I'm a sweet savor unto God. I have victory no matter whether they get saved or not. That's a much sweeter victory if they do get saved. But I'm victorious either way. And you know, this summer we're gonna have the visitation. I encourage you. Let's just stop and let's think for a second. Why don't we visit? Why don't we win souls to Christ? Why don't we go out and hand out tracts? Now, not everybody is going to get saved that we talk to. I talked to a girl the other night downtown. I had an appointment downtown. I was about an hour early, so I stopped and got me a big cup of coffee. It was a big cup of coffee. We sat there for an hour, and we talked. Very friendly girl. You know, she's a waitress there. She's very friendly. I got ready to go out. And I said, you know, I've enjoyed your conversation. I want to give you a tract. She said, no, I don't want it. Instantly, she turned. What happened? She wanted nothing to do with Christ. But she's still in triumphal entry. She's going into death. I've done my part. I'm still in the triumphal entry. I'm still a sweet savor unto God. I've done my part. But are we doing our part for soul winning? Do we realize the importance of winning souls to Christ? Turn back. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 again. And I got away from the notes, so I'll stay away. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always giveth us the triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. If I've done my job, I'm a sweet savor to God. Verse 16. To the one we are savor of death, and to the other the savor of life unto them. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, it's just like Paul's saying, you know, he says, who's able to do these things? Who's sufficient? You know, that's the same question that I have. You know, it's Lord, why me? Lord, why do you want me to go talk to so and so? Lord, I can't do it. And that's when the Lord can use us the most. When I come to my life, when I realize that I myself am helpless, I love to gab. I can gab. I can meet a total stranger anywhere and gab and gab and gab and gab and gab. I love the gift of gab. But if I depend upon the gift of gab, I'm trusting Rich DeLee. And God's going to say no. This summer, this past fall, we taught the soul winning class to a couple of the ladies. You know, we saw the different ways to present the plan of salvation. If I'm trusting my knowledge of that, I'm going to fall short. I myself am insufficient. Look at verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speaking we Christ. You know, Paul said, you know, it's not we're corrupting the word of God. We're not doing that. We're sincere. We're speaking the right things, but we're still insufficient. Look over at chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. What God wants of Rick Salee is for me to say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, you say go, I'll go. Lord, you say hand this track out, I'll hand it out. Lord, you say knock on this door, I'll knock it. Lord, you tell me what to do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord, you tell me where to go, and I'll go. God wants me simply to follow His plan, His instructions, and for me to go. And no matter what happens, if I go because of Him, I triumph in Christ. If this was tonight, we all go out soul winning, and no one gets saved Wednesday night. If nobody gets saved Wednesday night, you know what? We come back, we've triumphed in Christ. We've done our responsibility. But the question is, are we going to be willing to say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, you use me, and I'll go. The Lord's not looking for a fancy vessel. He's looking for a clean vessel that He can use. This morning, Pastor Paul saw soul win this morning, you know, and the urgency of it. Do I really realize the need of soul winning? Do I really realize the need of going to tell others about Christ? Do I really realize that my loved ones without Christ are going to hell? Do I realize if my dad or my mom is not saved, do I really realize if they die without Christ, they're going to hell? If my brothers and sisters die without Christ, they're going to hell. If my neighbors, my friends die without Christ, they're going to hell. One of the most startling pictures I've ever seen, I went to a man's house in Texas, and he was an artist, and he had drawn, he went to fairs, and he did these fair things where they hand out tracts, and he drew a picture. It was on a 4-base sheet of plywood, and it was painted totally black. Totally black. And he had one man about that big painted in the portrait upside down, like he was falling upside down. He said, I post that in churches when I go to alert them to the need of soul winning. We're afraid to go because we'll fail. If we go, we cannot fail. If we go, we cannot fail. You know where I learned to soul winning visit? Years ago, I was in high school. I go to the station meeting. And Brother Wilson, can you stand up for a second? And Brother Wilson, was in your visitation. And Brother say, Brother Webb, say, Ricky, what was it doing, Brother Wilson, tonight? I went to the station with Brother Wilson. 8th, 9th grade, we went to the station together. We visited. Stopped and got ice cream. It was great. You know, we visited. Okay, and then I come back another week. I went with Brother Twilley a couple of times. We got with Brother Twilley. We got soul winning with Brother Twilley. He taught me how to lead people to Christ. I remember this guy named it was Adams. He lives in Butlerville now. Tell me, we went to his house. I was in high school. I remember the day we went to his house. It was cold. It was snowing. It was a nasty day. And we drove. It was so bad that Tommy couldn't get home. He had to walk home from work that day. But Jay was so burdened for that man that we drove there and witnessed to him that night. Why? He had a burden for a soul that he loved. How long since our heart was so broken for somebody that we couldn't quit crying? We're afraid we'll fail, so we don't go witness to them. We're afraid that we'll say the wrong thing, so we're afraid to witness. I can't lose. I'm on the winning side. I always triumph in Christ when I do right. Folks, tonight's message is this. Do I really realize the need of people getting saved? I talked to Brother Wentz the other night. He called me about his dad. He said, Brother Slee, he said, my dad's lost. He's had a stroke. His first thing was, my dad's lost. Pray for him. My dad's had a stroke. Oh, how sad if he dies without Christ. Do I realize that my loved ones are going to hell? How long did I say, God, break my heart for others? How dare we pray for somebody else's dad to get saved, or pray for our dad to get saved if we're not witnessing to somebody else's dad? How dare we pray for somebody else's kids to get saved if we're not witnessing to our kids or to other kids? How dare we pray for our spouse to get saved if we're not witnessing to other spouses? Are we triumphing in Christ? He's all sufficient. Do I really have a burden for souls? Does my burden take me places that I ordinarily wouldn't go? That night, we drove Jay's truck. He had that red, like a red Ford truck, I think. And we was all over the road. Of course, Jay likes to go on the road anyway. But we was all over the road. But you know, I don't forget that night. I don't forget the time that Brother Wilson, I saw him cry talking to people. And I don't forget Brother Webb and Brother Woody and Brother Williams and these other men. That's all hell of a burden. Adults, do our teenagers see a burden in us? Do they see a burden where somebody will cry over a soul? Do they see a burden where somebody will say, listen, would you please come to church? Would you please get saved? Do we have a burden? How long since we spent an hour in prayer over somebody? How long have we fasted a meal for souls to get saved? Can God save? Can God save? That's what we're talking. Can God save? Then why don't we live like it? We want God to save, but God uses vessels to go. I want to challenge you. This Wednesday night, if you're able to be here, be here. If you can't, take some tracts. Witness to others. Start a list of people. Start a list of names that you're praying for. It might take a long time. I think of Brother Summers comes. He comes and he gets mad because he can't hear. And he's here when I preached and I left. He said, "Didn't hear a thing you said. Sorry." He's old. As a teenager, we went to his house. He said, "Ricky," he said, "I don't need that." He said, "I'm fine without the church." I said, "But Mr. Summers, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't want to hear it." I saw people cry and pray with him. 4 or 5 years, I don't get how long, recently, 4 or 5 years, my wife always stopped at his house one day. "Hey, Mr. Summers, I'm going to come by again. I want to ask you again to get saved. What do I do?" I looked at Mr. Summers. "What did he say? What do I do?" So I got this face. It was almost like we was fighting. "You're a sinner. I know that." I came looking at Miss Summers. I said, "Miss Summers, does he understand it?" She says, "He's never said anything before, Ricky." I'm still Ricky to Miss Summers. "He said he's never said anything before." And then he bowed his head and said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me." What happened? Years of people going by, witnessing to him, dropping tracts and praying for him. It wasn't nothing I said. I was just there the day his heart was ready. And God said, "Stop," and I stopped. I triumphed in Christ that day because he got saved into life. But I triumphed as much the other day downtown when that girl at the Starbucks said, "No, get out of here. I don't want to see that track ever again." I triumphed in Christ as much as that. I was as much of a sweet savior to God that day as the day that Mr. Summers got saved. Why? I was obedient to the call of God. Folks, don't allow the devil to make you think that you have to be successful in getting souls down the aisle to be a sweet savior to God. You don't. You simply go and tell, and you triumph in Christ. And when I realize that I can't do it, then that's when God can use me. Think of somebody right now that's lost. Think of somebody right now that you know that's lost that you're praying for. Now picture them falling to hell. Picture them falling to hell. I'm thinking of Chief Woodry. If it does not break our heart, we should come to the altar right now. If the thoughts of souls going to hell don't break our heart, then we should hit the altar right now. How about it? Do you have a burden for souls? If not, we ought to. You have a burden for souls? Then let's visit. Let's talk to people. Let's give them tracts. Let's say, "Listen, I love you. I'm praying for you. Can I show you how to get saved?" All they can do is say yes or no. We might be amazed. They might say yes. I believe all my heart, there are some folks that only I can win. Or some only folks that Brother Burke can win. And God will make our paths cross. I believe that. But if I'm not faithful to witness to those that God brings in my path, I'm going to give account. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 9. Ezekiel 33:7. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." if I'm faithful to tell, I have victory, whether they get saved or whether they choose not to get saved. I want to encourage us tonight, folks, let's ask God to break our hearts. If we can think of our loved ones going to hell without crying, our hearts have become complacent and they've become hard. If we can think of our friends and neighbors going to hell with our hearts being broken, we've become complacent, we've become hard. Let's not be there. Adults, let's be the examples we need to be to the younger generation. If our hearts aren't broken, their hearts won't be broken. Let's ask God to work in my heart, work in my life. Ask God to work in your heart, work in your life. And say, Lord, I know I can't do it, but Lord, I'm going to be faithful to go, and I'm going to triumph in Christ because of who you are, not who I am. And Lord, I want to be a sweet savor smelling to you. I want to be the one that God says, well done, thou good and faithful steward. I want to be the one that pleases God. But I promise, if I'm not being faithful to witness those around me, I'm not a sweet savor. I'm not doing my part. I'm not enjoying the victory. If we all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed,